So it was about 8:45 on Tuesday night this last week, and my cell phone rang, and I looked down at it, and I saw that it was my wife who was calling, and I simply replied back, "Still meeting. Our leadership team was meeting on Tuesday night," not thinking, of course, that she had called on the home phone, and that text would have gone nowhere into cyberspace someplace. And I no sooner did that than the church phone rang. And I walked over to it, saw the caller ID, and I'm like, uh-oh, something's up. So I picked up the phone, and I'm like, "Hey, sweetie, what's going on?" And on the other end, I heard, I can't breathe. I think there's something wrong with my heart. I think I need to go to the hospital. And I'm like, okay, we'll be right home. And so I quickly said to our team, I said, "You guys, I got to go." And fortunately, Rob Hudson, who is a member of our leadership team, he's a nurse. And I said, "Hey, Rob, can you go with me? Something's wrong at home." And so we went over to my house and walked in, and my wife was kind of pale and clammy, and clearly she was having problems breathing. And Rob just said, "All right, Jenny, have a seat. Let me check you out." So she sat down on the edge of the table, and he felt for her pulse and couldn't get it. And he felt on her neck and couldn't get it, and saw how pale she was. And my kids have this stethoscope. It must be about like 50 years old, kind of one of the old time but original kind of ones. And he says, "That thing work right there?" And we're like, "Yeah, we think. Kids play with it." So he picked it up and he put it on. He put it to his heart, to her heart, and he moved it around a couple places. And he said, "How you feeling?" She's like, "I can't breathe, and it's just hard." He said, "Okay, your heart is really racing, so you need to go to the hospital." We're like, okay. He's like, "You need to go now." We're like, okay. So he's like, "You doing okay?" And she's like, yeah. And so she proceeds to getting her stuff ready. I said, "Honey, you just need to sit down. We'll get everything." And so I walk outside because I had pulled my car into the driveway. And I knew by this time I needed to get the car out of the way so I could get the van out. One of my kids was asleep. The other one comes out. And I'm like, so I said, I got to move this. So I'm walking out with Rob. And he said, "I couldn't count it. It was beating that fast." He said, "You need to go to the emergency department now." I'm like, okay. And he's like, "No, right now you need to go." I'm like, okay. So I run in. And in the meantime, my wife had already called her parents. And actually before that, she had called Lynn Morgan. And Lynn was not home, or she couldn't get to the phone. But she called back and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And Jenny's telling her what's wrong. And Lynn is like, "Hey, I think you need to go to the hospital." And, you know, in my family, the men in our family tend to minimize things. Right? "You're okay. It's going to be all right." And and some of the women in our family tend to exaggerate things. And so we actually have a great relationship in that way, because we kind of get good stuff done. But Lynn said, "I think you need to go. Do you need me to come over?" And my wife is like, no, George is going to be home in a few minutes. So I scoop the kids up, get Jenny in the van, take the kids down. We meet in Baptist Floyd Hospital parking lot. We do the handoff of the kids with my in-laws, and we go into the front desk where they check you in right there. And a great nurse right there. And she's like, "What's going on?" And I said, "My wife can't breathe. Her heart is racing. Something's going on." And they immediately brought her back. And then what proceeded to happen was, for me, like a scene out of Code Black, or ER, if you remember, go back, right? Some of you who are my age and were like just like fixed on TV whenever ER came on. And so we go into the triage, like the highest priority room, and I'm just standing back, and there's all these nurses doing their thing and opening things and putting monitors on my wife, and the doctor's just standing back waiting. I mean, it was like this well-oiled machine. It was incredible. And they hooked her up to the EKG, and I'm not sure, but one of the nurses said something like, "It says severe," like it couldn't read her heart rate. And so they did it again, and the doctor, they said, so the doctor looks at it, and her heart was beating at 295 beats a minute. Normal is like 70-ish, 80-ish, somewhere on there, and this had been going on for about 2 hours. And so the doctor said, "Okay, Jenny, here's what's going to happen. We're going to give you some medicine that's going to stop your heart, and then we're going to shock you. And so they're putting the stuff on and putting the pads on, and the nurse takes the IV needle, and she puts it in Jenny's arm, and she no sooner puts it in the arm than the heart rate drops. And he's like, okay, wait. And so they're checking the EKG, and her heart rate is still elevated, but they're like, okay, we don't need to do that. So fast forward, we're there through the night. So at about 2:45, they did chest x-rays, they did all kinds of things. They couldn't find anything. At 2:45, they said, okay, you're staying, because at 2:95, you should have passed out. You should have, you shouldn't be, kind of here. And later on, one of the nurses came up, and she said, I just want to let you know, I was standing back going, hold on, sweetie, we're not going to lose you. Hold on. And so we get up to the room at 3 o'clock in the morning. Happens to be one of those weeks where Baptist Floyd is packed. They had to clean a room, all that kind of stuff. So we finally get into the room at 3 o'clock. Everything gets stabilized, and by this time they said, okay. I said, okay, I gotta get home. My in-laws have the kids, because we need to get the kids off to school. They're not going to do anything. So I called my in-laws. We do a switch off. And so I'm going to come home, and my mother-in-law is going to come and stay with Jenny. So we do that. And so at 3:48 in the morning, I send out an email. It is an e-prayer. We have this thing in this church called an e-prayer, where we can send it out to people in our church and say, will you, the people of God, pray? Will you pray? And I just sent this email out that says, Jenny's been admitted to the hospital last night with supraventricular tachycardia. Preliminary tests are she's got to have a cardiac echo and things. And so I finally, I think about 4:30, fell asleep for about 2 hours, get up, get my kids to school, get into the hospital, and doctor came in and said, okay, we're going to schedule you for a cardiac echo. We're going to try for about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Unbeknownst to us that really it was, they couldn't get her scheduled. It was just, we're going to work you in whenever we can get you in to see what was going on. And we're like, okay, we can do that. But we're in a waiting pattern, because her heart rate had dropped. It was still fast. Her blood pressure had come back up to, it was still low, but it had come back up. And they were also giving her some medicine to kind of keep her blood pressure from going too high or what have you. I don't understand all that kind of stuff. And so we're just like hanging out, just waiting. And so while Jenny is laying there trying to get some rest, because we've been up all night long, I'm doing my disciple reading, my disciple Bible study. I love disciple Bible study. We have this formal discipleship program here that gets us into God's word, and it will change your life if you will do it. But I tell you, God is so good, and God has this amazing way of giving us exactly what we need when we need it. And I tell you, I honest to goodness, this is the verse, the first verse that I read when I do my Bible study this on Wednesday morning. Can you pull that up, Jen? You are helping us by praying for us. That was like God's word to me. That his people are helping us because they're praying for us. Is that not good news? That's amazing news. And I tell you, I got this peace. I got this peace that God's like, I got this. I got this. Now, there's still a lot of stress, because she needs to have a cardiac echogram to see if there's anything going on in the heart, what has caused this kind of deal. And so by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, one of her doctors comes in and says, okay, so they did the cardiac echogram, and a little bit later, a doctor comes in and says, okay, here's what we found. You have this this short circuit in your heart that we need to do a cardiac ablation. Basically, there's a circuit in your heart that they have to go in and they have to cauterize it to get rid of it, so it'll stop sending the signal. Is that pretty close? Is that good? Stop sending, so your heart will stop beating like that. And so the problem is, we can't get you in because we're so backed up. So we're going to shoot for Friday, but we don't have any anesthesiologists, and there's so many people ahead of you. We've got you stabilized. So we're going to try, but there's no guarantee. But we're going to keep you overnight tonight because it's about 4 o'clock. We're like, okay, we can do that. So in the morning, I'm getting the girls ready for school, and Jenny calls me and says, she's crying. She's like, the doctor just came in, and she said, I had a heart attack. And we're like, I'm like, what? And he said, you've had a heart attack. And so I'm like, okay, so what do they need to do? And she's like, so before they can do the ablation, we have to have a cardiac cath to see, like, are there blockages? Is there damage to the heart? Is there something that we need to do? I'm like, okay, when are we going to do that? And she's like, sometime today. And I'm like, you guys have been there, right? Because the hospital is busy. I mean, oh my gosh. Which, by the way, I want to put a little plug in. You know, sometimes we don't have great experiences with hospitals. Other times we have amazing experiences with hospitals. We have had an amazing experience with Baptist Floyd. Every person that we talked to is like, honey, I'm praying for you. So nice. God's people are praying, and those professionals at the hospital were praying for my wife. And so I'm like, okay, so we got to have this thing done. And so I get to, I'm at the hospital, and Jenny's like, so she has to go NPO, which means she can't eat or drink anything after 10 o'clock. And she's like, oh, I could use some coffee. Well, if you know my wife, she likes coffee with her cream. So the stuff that you get at the hospital is like, bless them, it's not that good. And I said, let me run over to Starbucks and get you some cream with a little coffee in it. And she'd also said, oh, I wish I could wash my hair. Girls, you know that, right? And I said, you know, I heard there's this stuff that you spray in your hair, like dry stuff, and it can take all the oil out, and you look spectacular, which you look great anyways, but I know it'll help you. And she's like, okay, let's try it. So I go to one store. Of course, they don't have it. Then I go to Target, and they have it, and I buy it. Then I go to Starbucks, and I get, you're probably wondering, is this story going to ever end? It's going to take a little while. So we go... I go to Starbucks, you know, I get the cream with a little coffee in it, specialty little mocha latte, whatever thing. I go to start my van. You guessed it. It doesn't start. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Really? I was like, it's okay. It is okay. And so I called my father-in-law, which is a little plug. They're not here, but I would tell you anyways, I have the best in-laws in the whole wide world. Amazing, godly family that I married up into. And I called him, I said, where are you? He said, just getting ready to leave the house. I said, could you swing by Starbucks for me and jump my van so I could get to the hospital? And by the way, if your wife calls or my wife calls, please don't tell them. Don't want to raise any anxiety. We got to keep it all calm, you know, kind of. He's like, what's wrong? His van won't start. And like, okay. So he comes over, we jump it, nothing. Like, it's okay. We got this. It's in a parking lot. We're going to leave it. We'll just go to the hospital. By the way, we got to go in at different times because I don't want either one of them to go, how did you guys like walk in at the same time? So I go in the hospital. I'm like walking in and amazing thing. This is how God works behind the scenes. I walk into the hospital and so when you go you go up the stairs and kind of around and in, and I look down, and who does God happen to have at Baptist Floyd at just the right time, at just the right need, is Chris O'Neill. And he is down there meeting with his tech guy to figure out how to reprogram his little thing in the back so that you can talk to him about that. And I'm like, Chris, you gonna be here for a while? He's like, yeah. I said, stay here. I need to talk to you. So I go up and, hi, honey, here's your drink. It's a little cool, but it's okay. And because, you know, if you try to drink their stuff, like right when it comes up, you will burn yourself. Is that hot? So I said, hey, I saw Chris O'Neill. I need to go say hi to him. Okay. So I run down, like, Chris, van won't start. Are you off today? Could you like go? And he's like, yeah, give me your key. So he went over. He had the guys at the discount tires put it on their thing and boom, fires right up. Like, you need a battery. Okay. So leave it running. So my father-in-law, I get to say, you know the van wouldn't start today? So your dad and I are going to run over and get it. We're just going to bring it back here. It's just a battery. It's great. We'll go get the battery a little bit later. It's going to be a piece of cake. So we go over, he's kept it running. We go, we get the van, pull up in the parking lot. Did I tell you that Baptist Floyd is like packed? We are in Scooby-Doo D. Like that, if you've been to King's Island, right? You know that's like, we parked across the river. And so we go in and it's like, it's all great. And day goes on okay. And I'm just thinking, I got to get a battery sometime. It's all right, it's all right. So we finally get to go up and have the cardiac echo. Go down and have the cardiac echo done. And I tell you, this is how good God is. So we go with my wife, and then they say, okay, you got to go here, and we go here. We split, go to the waiting room. It's great. We're in the waiting room. And out walks one of the nurses there who is a friend of mine. And he says, hey, I just like, your wife just got rolled in here, and I was looking at this, and I said to her, you're like George's wife, aren't you? And she's like, yes. So I had to come out and tell you, I'm her nurse, and she is the best doctor who does this, and she's going to be fine. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So Steve, his name is Steve, amazing guy. He's led medical mission trips and all kinds of stuff. He's just a great guy. So he goes in, we're just sitting out, and like, he has, again, my in-laws, like, they know everybody. And they have this circle of friends that is so godly. I mean, like, I'm so surprised that people didn't come and say, y'all need to go. Because, like, we are filling this waiting room. Because all throughout this, people have been praying, and it's gone out virally. And a lady who works for one of the magazines said, so I was on Facebook and saw that your wife had, like, posted something on there. She's had so many responses. That is like, she's like a movie star or something. And I'm like, that's my family. And so I know that there are literally people all over the world praying for my wife. And you know what? They're helping us because they're praying. Because God does stuff because we pray. So back to the story. So we're sitting in the waiting room, and another couple of my my in-laws friends said, so your battery's not working? I'm like, no, it just, we're getting it late. And they said, give us your keys. We'll go get your battery. I'm like, sweet. Great. So they go out. They find the van. They drive over to get the battery. It's not the battery. So the people at Walmart tried to start it because they went over, stopped the car, turned it off, went in and talked to them about the battery, came out, done start. Hooked the little machine up. It's not your battery. Like, fine, okay. But they said, we think it's this part that if your car cools down, it'll start when it's cool. It just won't start when it's hot. I'm like, okay, great. So after all the procedures get done, the doctor comes out and says, cardiac cath was great. Your wife's heart looks strong. It's clear. There's no blockages. All looks good. She can have the ablation done. Okay, sweet. Next week. Okay. We can work through that. So we're going to keep her overnight, and we're going to send her home. No anxiety, no pressure, no stress. I'm like, she lives with me. Are you kidding? And so actually, I got to tell you that several of the nurses were like, so like, did your husband make you mad or something? I'm like, excuse me, like just around me makes her heart flutter. So, you know, hey, I think it's true. So anyways, so so their friends come back. It's like, it's not your battery. It won't start. I'm like, ah, great. So it gets time to go. My mother-in-law is going to stay. My father-in-law takes me over to Walmart on Grantline Road. And, you know, their thing is behind the back. We go, try to start the van. It's been cold, but it doesn't start. I'm like, oh, daggummit. I'm like, we're just going to leave it. It's Walmart. It won't be here tomorrow. So it's okay, you know. And it's in the back, it's dark, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I take his car, we go back to the hospital so he can get my mother-in-law, and I take their car, go back home. Which, by the way, again, God is so good. God provided. There's a family in our neighborhood, Philip and Bobby Vetter. Bobby babysits like everybody in the neighborhood. And so my girls were able to go after school there. This is after I called the school and said, my daughter's never ridden the bus. Could you please make sure, my littlest one, could you please make sure they get on the bus? Like, absolutely, George, we will get her on the bus. I'm like, I know she gets on. I know Bobby will not let that bus leave until she gets off the bus. So we're all good. So I go pick the girls up. We're good. So then Thursday, like, Thursday, we're like, okay, my wife's supposed to get released in the morning. which is all good. Doctor comes in, releases her, says, so we can't get you in on Friday for the ablation, so we're going to send you home. So Wednesday, so this coming Wednesday, we get to go back in at 6 a.m. for the surgery that could take an hour or it could take 5 hours. It just depends on how long it takes them to find this. I'm like, that's okay. We'll work. And so after a while, we get ready, we go home. And then I said to my father-in-law, could we go figure out what's wrong with Van? Absolutely, we go. We try to start it. Of course, it doesn't start. So one of his other friends said, hey, there's this place right down the road here. Really good guys. I've taken my car there. I'm like, okay, great. So we went down there. They said, yeah, we'll get it towed. We'll bring it back. It's not the battery. It's a starter. So we have a new starter in the van. But again, you know how good God is? They were not busy that day. So I got a new starter. And the van's running fine. So we get the van, it's all good, we come home. And so now, we are in this holding pattern. Again, no stress, no anxiety, no stares, no physical exertion. She's leading the life of leisure, gets to lay back on the couch. It's all good, I'm doing the laundry. And I do laundry really well, thank you. Keeping everything rolling as well as I can. And so that's where we are right now. We're in this holding pattern. And so I'm going to ask you this week to please pray for my wife, who's going to have surgery on Wednesday morning for this ablation. But I tell you, so I was supposed to be preaching on our continuing series in Hebrews that Jesus is greater than everything. Well, you know, this sermon really fits that actually. Jesus is greater than everything because he is so good because he provides what we need when we need it. But I thought I can't do the same thing for two reasons. And number one, the text that I was going to preach on is way too heady for me this week. I'm barely functioning in certain ways. And the other is I got to talk about the story. Got to talk about how good our God is. Because when I read this verse, on Wednesday morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, it is so good. Because I sent an email out to everybody at 9:46. And it says, in my Bible reading today, I came across and claimed these words, you are helping us by praying for us. From 2 Corinthians. On behalf of Jenny and our whole family, I want to thank you for your prayers. I know that they are helping us with many things. And I thought, I got to talk to you about that. I got to talk to you about why we pray. I got to talk to you about what prayer. We're not going to go into any really deep, deep stuff, but I just want to talk with you briefly about praying. About praying. And I want to give you the context for this verse that actually begins in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. I'm sorry, in chapter 1, beginning around verse 3. So I'm going to read verse 3 and 4 and then 11. And we're just going to unpack that a little bit so that what I want you to see is that none of us are helpless. Because there's one thing that we can all do. Regardless of who we are, where we are, we can pray. Now, God doesn't always give us what we want when we want it, but that we still pray because we are people of prayer, and we're going to talk about that why. But look at the context for this. The Apostle Paul writes, beginning in verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of our all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And you are helping us by praying for us. You're helping us by praying for us. So why do we pray? Why do we pray? I want to give you three simple, hopefully memorable statements that will help you when we think about why do we pray. Why is it that we as God's people pray? What is it about this thing called prayer that we do? So three simple statements. The first one is because God calls us to do it. Actually, I really struggled with this first one because I could have used words like God expects us to do it. God desires us to do it. God longs for us to do it. God commands us to do it. There's just something about prayer, about praying, that God wants us to do it. He wants us to be people who pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, in this kind of longer section on prayer, it's actually where we get the Lord's Prayer, where when the disciples ask Jesus, well, how are we supposed to pray, Jesus? And that's where he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we get the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. We get the Lord's Prayer. But before that, some interesting words that we easily just brush over quickly, but notice what it says. In verse 5, it says, when you pray. Do you know what that is? That is the expectation. God just expects us to pray. All throughout Scripture, we have the same expectation that we are supposed to pray. When we read Paul's writings, we're looking at 2 Corinthians now, but when we read Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Thessalonians and Ephesians and Galatians, when we look all those things, over and over and over, we get the same theme of when you pray. Or pray like this. Or I always pray for you. Or when I'm praying. And so there is this general expectation that we will be people who pray, because that's the way that we communicate with God. That's the way that God communicates with us. God expects us, he calls us to it. Why would he do that? Why would God want us to pray? I think because we need it. I think we need it. God calls us to do it, and he says, that we need it. That, you see, God has wired the world in such a way that there are some things that God either cannot or will not do until and unless we pray. There is something about how God has wired things that he wants us to be partners with him. He wants us to be engaged with him. There are things, and I don't understand all the mystery of this, but I believe it, that there are things that God either cannot or will not do until and unless we pray. Now, cannot is not in the sense of there's no way that he could do it, but he chooses not to do it until we pray about it. Because God wants this relationship with us. He knows that we need it. He knows, look what the verses that we look at, that God, he is a merciful Father. He is the source of all comfort. And he wants us to be empowered and equipped to comfort others. Because you know what? Life is hard. Cars don't start. Emergency procedures happen. People get fired. Diseases happen. Our children don't make good choices. Our parents don't make good choices. Life is hard. And God has so wired this world in such a way that he so intimately wants to be in a relationship with us that he calls us to pray because we need it. Because we need it. Now, we could spend hours and literally days talking about all the different ways that we need it. But here's what I want you to get today. We pray because God calls us to do it because we need it. That's all I want you to get. He calls us to do it. He wants us to do it. So here's what we got to do. Do it. God calls us to it because we need it. And just do it. You'll see in your notes, I had put a verse there from Philippians 4, 6, and 7 on the needing part that says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Do you know what I've experienced this week? Peace. Peace. Peace amidst the doctors and nurses coming in saying, we have never seen a heart rate that fast before. Peace of them not getting to schedule my wife to do things when I want them to get it scheduled, which was like yesterday. Peace. Knowing that God provides people to work on cars, people to provide meals, people to pray. Peace. There's something about this connection with God when we pray and when others pray for us that we will find peace even amidst the chaos. Again, I told you, literally, I love those shows like Code Black and ER and Chicago Hope. Like, I love those things. They are like ADD heaven. right? Because they're like boom, 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 and going like crazy. It was like this out-of-body experience where I'm just standing there like watching all these people doing their thing like this well-oiled machine. And all throughout that, I was peaceful. I wasn't wigging out, stressing out. You know, they didn't have to say, sure, you need to leave the room. They probably didn't even know I was there because I'm just being like this going, wow, man, y'all are good. You have been trained. You have been gifted to do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. That's in the Bible, by the way. It is good. So why do we pray? Because God calls us to do it because we need it. He says, just do it. This verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Y'all have seen this before. Never stop praying. Actually, from the NIV or other translations, it says, pray without ceasing. I kind of like this one a little bit better. Just never stop praying. You know when we can pray? When we're driving down the road. Just don't close your eyes. You know, we can pray when we lay down in our bed. Be careful of that one because you might fall asleep on Jesus. We can pray first thing in the morning when we get up and say, God, would you just help me to have a great day today? On the way to school every day, I drive my girls and we pray on the way to school. We pray for our classmates. We pray for our teachers. We pray that it'll be a good, safe day at school. We'll pray for a good day because I want my girls to know that God wants us to pray because we need it, so we got to do it. And most of us, probably many of you sitting here today are like, I have no idea how to do that. Can you give me the formula to pray? Here's the really good news. There's no formula. All you got to do is do it. And you just talk to God. Now, I have been in sweating. I got to do this wedding for one of our youth years and years and years. He has like high school age kids now. But I got to do, he married this girl who was Catholic. And so it was like this Protestant Catholic thing. And we both got to be there. And I mean, I'm there with this Catholic priest. He is in his like full regalia and, you know, all this stuff. And I do have a robe. I actually look quite scholarly. So I have this robe with little sergeant things on it. And I'm doing that. And so we have to do our prayers, and his prayer is so eloquent. I mean, it is like God speaking. And I'm like, God, thank you for this couple and just for bringing them together. And I pray your blessings. And God, would you do great things to them? I mean, I'm just praying like I talk to God. And I had so many people walk up, and they're like, I didn't know you could pray that way. I'm like, oh, I said, you don't need to do the King James prayers. Wherefore art thou thy father's? You know, like stuff like, I think God's sometimes going, what? He's not. But, you know, just that we could just talk to God. And so I want you to experience what it means to talk to God. I want you to just do it all the time. Never stop praying. Pray for the little things. Pray for the big things. Pray for the middle-sized things. I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God does things because we pray. Doesn't do everything. He's God. I'm not. He knows stuff. I don't know. But he says to pray. Now, if God tells us to pray, then we got to do it. And I want you to do it. Because I believe God will do things because you pray. So I want to say thank you. Because your prayers are helping us. And if you open yourself up, and if you share your life with somebody else, and if you say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for us? Would you pray about that? Like all of a sudden God is like in that situation, and you might experience something way more than you ever even thought you could. And so what I've been doing all week, man, I've been praying like all the time. God, I've been praying for the doctors. I've been praying for the housekeepers that come in. Like even the housekeeping guy. Like I do this all pro dad thing at the school. And even one of the supervisors of housekeeping at the hospital, I saw him and, you know, I'm great at faces but horrible at names. And so this guy says, hey! And I'm like, hey! You know, and he's like, what are you doing here? And I said, oh, my wife is right here. And he's like, man, I'll be praying for your wife. I'm like, great. appreciate that. Don't really know who you are. I see your name tag, but like it doesn't ring a bell with me. And a little bit later, he came into my wife's room, brought his card, and I wasn't there and said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I saw your husband earlier today. And she's like, in great wifely fashion, now how do you know my husband? he's like, well, he's my our all-pro dad leader at the school. She's like, oh yeah. So like the housekeeping supervisor is praying for my wife. The nurses are praying for my wife. The little housekeeper people are praying for my wife. And I'm trusting and I'm believing because God is good. And so I want to challenge you to be a people of prayer. The band is going to come up and there is this amazing song that Jonathan's going to do with us. He is going to come up. Thank you. That was the cue. And the rest of the band can come too. Because there is this amazing song that's just entitled, All I Have is Christ. All I Have is Christ. And I want to invite you. I believe that God is calling us as a people to pray. Because we need it. And I would also qualify because the people around us need it. And so what we say is just do it. So the band is going to lead us in this song. If you feel like singing, great. Sing along, but read these words because they are powerful words. But maybe, just maybe, I've like scratched you where there's a little itch that you need to pray this morning. Maybe you haven't prayed for our new president yet, and maybe you need to pray for our president even if you didn't like him. Maybe there's something been going on at work that's really tough, and you haven't prayed about it. You might have prayed, God, take them out, but you might not have prayed, God, what do I do here? Maybe there's something going on in your family that you need some divine intervention in there. Maybe there's something going on with you. Maybe you've been trying to do something, and you've been trying to do it all alone, and you haven't even invited the creator God of the universe into it. So maybe there's something going on in your life that you need to just invite God into that. I don't know what it is, but I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that when it comes to this thing called praying, God expects us to do it because we need it, and so just do it. And so as they're playing, I want you to be praying. That's pretty good, wasn't it? As they're playing, I want you to be praying. If you want somebody to pray with you, like grab somebody and say, would you pray with me? You can pray up here or up here. You can pray right there in your seat. You can get down on your knees. You can stand, however you want to do it. If you want somebody to pray with you, seriously, grab somebody with a name tag on it. Or just grab somebody and say, would you just pray about this in my life? I'm going to be right down here. If you want me to pray with you, I'd be happy to pray with you because I believe that our God is so good, that he will do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than we could possibly imagine if we pray. And so I invite you, let's pray.